This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh.
Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, will be back on the air tonight after Game 4, Bucks and Celtics. We got our two former Packers, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler in here as well. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and my job is to introduce the guests on the Wendy's Big Show. And joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is one of our radio.com sports insiders, also SiriusXM NBA host Brian Scalabrine joining us.
Hey, Scalabrine,
on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Scal, appreciate the time, man.
What's up, Scal?
I can shoot it. I can only shoot it from the corners, man.
Shooter!
Man, you could have played like 25, 30 years, yeah. Made a boatload of money hitting that corner three in nowadays game.
I know. I guess I missed my calling, but I think I did all right. I didn't think I'd ever play in the league. I got 11 years out of it.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a thumbs up.
Shoot that.
Well,
thing,
and Brian, the reason we're excited to get you on here is obviously one of the biggest names and one of the biggest times when you were in the league was when you were playing with the Boston Celtics. Your Boston Celtics taking on our Milwaukee Bucks. What did you see in the first three games that really gave the Bucks a favor in Game 3, having them up 2-1 in the series?
Yeah, the two things. Get Budenholzer, the staff, Giannis, you know, growing so fast. I mean, I think he's an immortal player. The biggest thing that really stood out is his willingness to give the ball up early. You know, I thought he forced the issue, trying to drive the ball, trying to go into his Euro step, which we know when he goes into that move, not a lot of guys in the NBA can stop it. But in the playoffs, they were ready for it. So him giving that ball up right when he was cracking the 3-point line, knowing that he'd get it back, building the confidence in his guys. You know, I think he deserves a lot of credit. I think the staff deserves a lot of credit for telling Giannis, hey, you're not going to be able to force it against Al Horford and Aaron Baines. You know, you need to move the ball early and trust your teammates will make the right play. Then it comes back to him and he goes on the attack and he seems a little bit unstoppable once he does that.
Let's talk about Marcus Smart a little bit and him looking like he's probably going to end up playing tonight for the Boston Celtics. What he means, I said earlier that I think he represents the heart, the grit, the fight, everything right now that the Boston Celtics could probably use a little bit of.
Yeah, no question about it. It's the whole thing about the Celtics this season have been they're a pretty good team throughout the game, 40 minutes, 42 minutes. But you saw the 28-2 run against the Bucks in the Bucks going on them in Game 2. You also saw a 21-6 run in Game 3. Marcus has this uncanny ability to make a big defensive stop, to get a steal that leads to a bucket. You know, all superstars in their own right break runs one way or another. Usually they do that with making a tough shot, getting to the free throw line. Marcus Smart, not a superstar, but he does it with gritty play on the defensive end. And he holds guys accountable. He's never about getting his, I need more touches. He's always about the team. He's about, you know, he's about winning. And that's, and in the NBA nowadays, with all the money being flown around, not a lot of people are always about winning. They want to win. But Marcus wants to win every minute he's out there. He wants to win when he's on the sideline. Great leadership ability. But he's only going to be able to play about 4 or 5 minutes at a time. So we'll see if that translates to enough. But if anything, it'll give the Celtics a little bit of an energy spike.
No, and I would agree with that. But I think it's going to come down to Kyrie. I mean, that's what it's all about. And he just haven't had last couple games just hadn't gone well for him. What are the Bucks doing differently on him?
I think the biggest thing is not allowing him to turn the corner. So if Kyrie makes step backs, if Kyrie makes pull-ups, you know, they're dapping him a little bit more than they did early on. They're also guarding him with a little bit of size, getting that hand up. I think in the NBA and when you're dealing with megastars, you have to give up something. And what are you willing to give up? And Kyrie is as good as he is. You know, he's a guy that can create a shot. He can shoot the three, catch and shoot off the dribble. You have to give up something. I think they're giving up the pull-up jumper. So for me, I think Kyrie's got to commit to that more and maybe a little bit more two-man game with Al Horford, and don't get so discouraged when the Bucks hit him with a two-man trap. He's so willing to give the ball up, but he's not aggressive to get that ball back. I agree with you. Kyrie, one way or another, has to put this team on his shoulders. And he doesn't need to do it for 48 minutes, but there's little plays in there where the Bucks are on a run. He needs to be the guy that's like, all right, I got this. Let's run a little two-man game, me and Al Horford, and I'll stop the bleeding for now.
See, and my standpoint is, I guess I'm a little bit different, right? Like, I understand the stars got to carry you in the playoffs and all that. To me, it just seemed like too much isolation basketball, not a lot of passing, especially when they got in transition, finding the open guy. How did you look at it in Game 3?
Yeah, I'm not down on isolation in the playoffs. I think we'll see a lot more of that. If you watch the Philly-Toronto series, Philly's trying to control pace with posting guys. You've seen in the Houston series. So there's a lot of isolation going on. But here's the thing. I do think when they want to take the ball out of Kyrie's hands, that is not the time to go isolation for the rest of the guys. It is catch, you know, put the ball on the floor, get to the paint. If you could turn the corner, do it. If not, make a play. You have to sort of play out of the Kyrie double team because they're double teaming him, you know, 30, 35 feet from the basket. And if the Celtics don't make them pay, then the Bucks will go and run away with this four games in a row. So you have to make, when they double team the superstar, the rest of the role players, and I don't even want to call them role players because some of these guys are really good, like those guys have to make the Bucks pay. And if they don't do it with an aggressive mindset, they do it with an isolation mindset, then that's going to fall right into the Bucks' hands.
Talking with Radio.com Sports Insider Brian Scalabrine, also host on NBA XM Sirius Radio, and also commonly referred to as the White Mamba. Brian, I have to ask you, as the NBA does become about role players a little bit more in the playoffs, guys that know their role but also have been there in huge situations. That was George Hill in Game 3. Just how big can that acquisition alone be for this Bucks team trying to get through the Boston Celtics and ultimately into playing late in May into June?
Yeah, I think when you're looking at your role players, and you know, let's use that term loosely, right? Like this, George Hill makes $18 million, so he is
right.
A role player. But
yes.
But you have to look at what a guy is capable of on the best of his nights, because that's kind of what the Bucks are hoping for. And I'm sure if it's not him, it's somebody else. And there's different guys could step up, and they use that term so loosely. This guy needs to step up. That guy needs to step up. But George Hill, in and of itself, like he's capable of having those type of nights. And it only took a couple shots for him to get going. And that is huge for a guy like Giannis. That's huge for a guy like Bledsoe. That now when he goes back in the game, doesn't feel the pressure that he has to do something. He can once again let the game come to him. And as much as heat as Bledsoe got last year and in Game 1, I think he's been terrific the last two games. And I do really believe this. Everyone's got to play to their personality and their strength. And if you try to act like somebody you're not in the playoffs, you're going to get exposed. And I think Bledsoe at times have tried to do that. I'm the star. I'm the big-time point guard. Now he just goes out there and plays, and the result is he's a big-time point guard.
Now, what do you think about Giannis? Because I think in the first game, they kind of held him in check, but you've seen now in the last two games, he's been able to get you at least 30, 10, and 9.
Well, I think he's an immortal player, which to me those are like the top 10 of all time when it's all said and done. I give him the difference between, well, we were talking about this, LeBron, who physically dominates the game, and Giannis, who physically dominates the game.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron was an unbelievable passer. Yeah, so kind of like a football quarterback that watches that strong safety take a step forward and then lets that ball go based on one small twitch of the safety. LeBron's doing the same thing with the defense. He's reading that third defender. That guy takes one step in. Boom, delivers a pass to a wide-open shooter, and that is absolutely demoralizing when he does that. So Giannis, he's not going to be at that point now. He's not built that way, at least at this point of his career.
Right.
But what he did do, and what the Bucks talked about is, you know, just give it up. Just start getting the guys going and pass it, and make a simple pass. Don't have to be a home run pass. You don't have to be the guy that gets the assist. Just get the Celtic defense reacting to you and make a play. And then from there, it went from good to great, and that great shot with Middleton in the corner, or a guy like Bledsoe would get it and then drive the ball. So much stuff happened because all eyes are on Giannis, and now he's making the simple play. And what's the unique part about all that is he becomes a much more efficient offensive player. But how do the Celtics stop that? What they have to do is they have to pick up Giannis 1 foot outside of the three-point line, and you cannot let him get that full head of steam.
Having done post-game show after Bucks games for about 14, 15 years now, I've went through some lean times, obviously, watching the Bucks and complaining about the other team getting superstar calls from the refs and so forth. Never in my life did I think I'd be on the other side having other team fans complaining about not getting calls, and it appears Celtic fans were livid the last couple of games for that very same reason. I read a piece in The Athletic today by a guy that covers the Celtics, and he went play-by-play, foul-by-foul through the whole thing. As far as, you know, calls that Boston got screwed on versus what Milwaukee got screwed on, how have you viewed the officiating in this series between Boston and Milwaukee?
I mean, I know, like, listen, I'm a Boston guy, and I want them to win, and I root for them, and the people on TV, they watch me, and they want me to root for them. I thought the officials called a great game. A foul is a foul, no matter if it's on Giannis or it's on Mirotic, it's on Shimi Ogilvy. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I think the officials this year of any year have done a great job of calling what they've called in the regular season. They're not making crazy adjustments just because it's the playoffs. They're not letting things go just because it's the playoffs. If the Celtics foul the Bucks three times in a row and then they do it again, they are making that call. So my whole point would be the Celtics got to do a better job of not fouling. You got to find a way to defend Giannis without reaching down. You got to find a way to get your body in the right position and pull your hands back. And I get it. The playoffs are supposed to be more physical. But what's happening is the team that's putting their head down, driving to the basket, and playing with a more aggressive offensive mindset is a team that's going to get the calls. And that's what's happening in this series. So either the Celtics can either jump on board, put their head down, and get to the basket, or they can pull their hands back and stop complaining. But one way or another, they got to focus on beating the Bucks and not the officials.
That's Radio.com Sports Insider Brian Scalabrine. You can also find Brian on SiriusXM NBA weekday mornings. Brian, appreciate the time, man, and we'll talk soon here.
You got it, guys. See ya.
That's Brian Scalabrine joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Take a quick time out and we'll get into that because, Sparky, you're onto something. As a Bucks fan, I never expected one of our guys to be the dude that everybody is griping about.
Right.
And it appears that it's finally changed. Winnie's Big Show here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Mics are on, boys. Let's just make sure that we're
I'm
all
I'm upset with Steve.
Yeah. I'm upset with you, Leroy, and I'm going to tell y'all why in a little bit.
Well, you can follow me at I'm upset with Steve.
Mm-mm. You're upset with Steve?
You didn't talk to me that whole break. What did I do?
Wow, okay. All right, let's step into the office.
Yeah, please, because this is disturbing.
We got Seth Everett in 25 minutes.
Leroy?
Okay. Not enough time.
Hold on.
Well, we're filing grievances. Everybody? I'm upset with Leroy. You want to go with
Leroy has...
Is
Leroy
HR here? Go ahead.
Leroy has the talking stick.
All right.
Yeah. Leroy, you tell your gripe with Sparky.
I'm very upset with Steve. He let his wife cut her hair. I walked off.
I asked her to cut her hair for my birthday present.
You're officially not a man.
What's wrong with that?
Whoa, what?
And his wife had beautiful hair all over, like Rapunzel.
It was down to her butt.
And he let her cut it.
No, he told
her. Asked her to cut
Hold
it.
Hold on.
Come on, man.
And she said yes?
Come on, Steve. You can't let her cut that hair, man. Although the haircut is amazing.
So this is what
I
happened.
Will say that.
All right, I'll let you in. So
yeah, let me in.
Kay's had long hair forever, okay?
Okay.
As we all know. She got a haircut like 3 years ago. And she got it cut down to like shoulder length. That was the last time. And since
it's a good
then,
spot. Yeah.
She hasn't touched it. Okay.
All right, mine too.
So I just brought up to her the other day. I said, you know, because we're going to the Field of Dreams tournament with the 12-year-olds baseball team. We're going to be outside for all that. And then baseball tournaments all summer.
Yes.
She's going to be warm. Hot. It's going to be hot.
It's hot regardless.
You got to put it up.
Right. So that's the first thing. The second thing is when you're at these tournaments and you're away from home or whatever else, and you got to be up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning to get to a game, That's going to save her a ton of time having to do her hair and everything else.
No,
it won't. As much hair
no,
to
it won't, Steve. She'll no, find
already has.
Women take forever to get ready.
She
but
doesn't.
Go ahead.
It's just her hair
so
that takes
I.
her forever. So I'm like, be cool, birthday present. If you want to go shorter, I'm fine with it. Because I love
13
long hair.
Inches,
don't
man.
Get me wrong.
I can't tell.
And she was like, no, I don't know. Okay, fine.
Let me have
so then she
call.
Thought about it for a little while. And then at the end of last week, she's like, if her friend was working mm-hmm. on Saturday morning, I'll get my hair cut.
You should have called that
so she texted
said,
her friend. And she's like, yeah, I'm working. I'm good. Let's go.
She cut too much.
So we went in there Saturday morning, me and her. And she sat down.
You went with her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Give me a man
we
card.
Went in. I got pictures too. We went in Saturday morning and her friend was like, okay, so are you scared? She's like, if you're scared, we'll just trim it.
Right.
Call it a day. Nobody,
I'm always
pressure
scared
you.
When I get in that
she's
chair.
Like, nope, I'm good. Let's do this. So, okay. And she knew what she wanted her hair to be. She right. found the picture.
Did she donate his hair?
No. And that
oh
was,
my.
That was,
hey,
that
man,
was both
dying.
Of our faults.
Hey,
we both
stick,
didn't
I'm
think
dying.
Of it.
Here's the stick. I'm dying.
We both didn't think of it.
Yeah, should have done
it. We
done.
Both realized
got,
it the next day.
She's got
amazing
hair.
Yeah.
She's got well, great A hair. Yeah,
right,
you
yeah.
But
so
you didn't think
that was our mistake. We think about it until the next day.
That's okay.
So
I'm going to text Logan right now.
This guy sitting next to me, because we checked in online, because we go to Great Clips. So we checked in online. So this guy next to us also had her friend to get his haircut. His haircut. So Kay goes in front of him. So he's sitting next to me. He goes, is she going to be there for a while? I said, well, they're going to cut all that hair off. She's like, okay, I'm going to leave, and then I'll come back. So he comes back. He was like, man, she looks like a totally different person.
Hey,
after
I
she
thought
had all
she was
that
an intern
off.
We just brought in. I didn't know who she was.
See, that's the
so
one thing.
So where'd you see her at, Leroy?
So Steve did this in the hallway.
She does look younger with this haircut. Well, she came in here earlier
dude,
to get my keys.
You should never say
I
that.
I thought it was an intern.
She looks a lot younger. She
oh, so Steve did it for
she
role
thinks,
playing.
She thinks she looks... No.
That's
she,
why you sick, Steve.
She thinks she looks taller.
You're a sick human being oh, that I like because I'm the same way, but we're talking about you right now. Yeah.
Less weight on her head. She kind of like...
Yeah, that's what up. She said. She goes, I feel taller with this haircut than I did before.
I've never seen her neck in 5 years.
Right.
Her hair's all the way down.
Correct.
I said, what is that?
Do you know what happened yesterday? We were at my nephew's first communion, and then they had a little party celebration after.
No one noticed her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they did?
But first time that's happened, because her hair's so long, she's never had to worry about her shoulders.
Right.
Got sunburned on both shoulders yesterday for the first time in forever, because she's got no hair covering her shoulders anymore. All exposed.
It's going to take her 15 years to grow that back. 15.
Maybe. But she's happy with it. I like
so
it.
So you. Good. So hold on here.
I like it a lot.
Can I just...
You're every man.
You asked her, if that was your birthday present that she
yeah.
cut her hair?
My birthday is Memorial
and she's like,
Day.
Okay with that?
My birthday is Memorial Day and she did.
So out of everything you could ask your girl for, that's
slapped.
What you asked for?
Well, what if your girl asked to cut you to cut your hair?
Thank you.
You're going to find a new boyfriend.
Because oh, I great. Saw a picture
man.
Of me. I saw a picture
I
of you.
Losing this?
You showed me a picture of you with a buzz cut from back in high school.
Yeah.
You looked fine.
No, I look like Farva from Super Troopers.
Spitting image.
Okay, maybe you did. But you were wearing the sunglasses and the whole deal in that picture.
Yeah.
Like Rami, for instance.
I also have a dent in the
ever
back of my head.
Rami's never
video?
Cutting his hair.
Yeah. But Rami, who was the host before Baby Tosh, many of you obviously know, he had short hair when he was a big dude. Then he lost all the weight, and he started letting his hair grow up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then, right, Gary screwed it all up.
Yeah.
Because
Gary?
Rami, yes, I'll tell you how.
Yeah.
Rami was like, I'm like, dude, why don't you just go back to, you know, shorter haircut? He's like, dude, my face is going to look fat if I go back to your short haircut. Right? Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So guess what happened? Yeah. So Rami went with a shorter haircut. Mm-hmm. First day, baby towel, she's in the building. Gary goes, boy, your face really looks fat with that short haircut. He looked at me, he said, never again, Sparky. I'm never taking your word again. I'm growing my hair back out.
His nose were extra large long.
Oh, see, come man, come on. Gary.
That's what I noticed. I had not never noticed his nose before until he got his hair cut. Not never noticed.
From the side or straight on?
Either way you want to look
either,
at it.
Okay, yeah. either
but
way.
But mostly side, I had the side view because I'm sitting here. That yeah. His nose got like exponentially. Is that
exponentially. Yeah, it is.
Is that
it's a big show.
It is now.
Did he always wear the hat too, or was
what's
that part
word,
of
baby?
The same
baby
lifestyle?
No, he didn't wear
exponentially.
Huh?
Exponentially.
Did Gary say button. Something to him about the top of his head too?
No.
Huh?
Okay.
No, he never wore a hat when he had the short haircut when he was bigger. He didn't start wearing the hat until his hair grew out like baby towels.
Yeah, because then he gets caught in the headphones. He gets caught in the headphones.
Yeah.
Well,
wow. Right. So, do you want to tell us why you're mad at Leroy after the break?
Yeah, no, let's do that. No,
can we do that after the break?
Let's do that after the break.
Nope,
and Leroy,
because that's my boy.
Yeah,
and I love
you know
him.
What you did?
I'm not doing it.
Do you know what you did?
That's my boy because I love
do
him.
Do you know what you did?
Keep asking me. I have no idea. He don't.
You
know
don't know what,
what
you.
He don't know. He don't know.
Well, he'll find out.
I'll be fair, because you didn't know what I was.
Listen,
right. He don't know.
Listen to me. I'm going to tell you right now. This is what you're going to say after the break, Leroy. Because I'm your friend. This is what you're going to say after the break. Okay. You're going to say.
Oh, so you know.
Oh yeah,
oh,
we
yeah.
all know.
Oh yeah, we all know.
Listen,
yeah.
After the
what
break,
what was this? When I took a
when he tells you what
that Kay's hair.
When he tells you what it is, Leroy, you're just going to say I have CTE. And oh, that, then you're free and clear. You're good.
This might get him. This
will get you a lot of money.
Yeah,
CTE case.
This might get him a lot of money.
Because you are, you're going to be embarrassed when you hear this one.
There's only one radio
America,
show.
We're not doing
only
this.
One radio show where you can hear all this conversation. It's the Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Show on the Fan, Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, two former Packers, the only show in the state that has two former Packers, and you can talk to him 414-799-1250 when you dial it up. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here as well. Steve is in tonight on the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show after Bucks and Celtics game 4 of the Eastern Conference semis. Then myself and Tim Allen talk Brewers with you after Brewers and Nationals game 1. No Lorenzo Cain in the lineup today after he leaves yesterday, getting hit off the left hand. Ben Gamel will lead off and play at center field. Full lineup's coming up at 6 on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. Gary?
Yeah.
Before we let everybody know what happened,
yeah.
I want to set the stage for you as this is the situation where we're airing some grievances as we all work
well,
together.
It's not really a grievance.
Well, we all work together.
I got one.
In one room.
With Steve. That was okay. A grievance.
Yeah, it's not, my,
well,
I filed
it with
really
HR.
Grievance. Like I said, we had a really
HR.
Great time last Friday.
For sure. Yes.
We had the rehearsal, you know, and how many bridesmaids we got, Leroy?
22.
Yeah. Right.
And what?
Because.
Single?
22. Huh?
Hit the hot button, man. Huh? Y'all falling short on these hogs.
I mean, it was great. I mean, it was great. We got in there in and out about an hour. I mean, it was a lot of people, you know, but it. And,
a lot of moving parts.
And his wife, Genesis, I mean, she did a great job. He wanted me to call it what I call. His wife, Genesis, did a great job of organizing that and getting everybody together. And you know, I feel like we're going to have a lot of fun. And I was, and it was great standing by Leroy. I mean, I really felt honored and, you know, because my guy, I mean, there's a lot of other guys.
Yeah,
that he could have chosen to be his best. Yeah, Steve,
well,
got your hands up.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I'm sure this has already been discussed between you two, but I'm just curious.
Uh-huh.
So, like, a lot of people, when they get married, right, mm-hmm. they leave the church. Well, y'all are being in Lambo, but they leave a church, and then they get in, like, a limo bus or their cars, and then they go take pictures at other places around the town
right.
for the pictures. Are you guys all your pictures going to be at Lambo themselves, or are you going to go other places?
No, we're going to be, of course, where I did the leap at. Got to do that.
But in front of the leap statue without you on it?
Come on, Steve. Don't ruin the
why
thing.
You're right. Come on, man.
That's another grievance.
That is one.
Yeah, we're going to go in the stadium.
I'm not letting that go
until
they fix it.
Yeah.
We're going to do inside the stadium and do some photos.
So they're going to let you in there to take the pictures?
Well, yeah, we're going to be in there anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
that'd be awesome.
I mean, it was great. I mean, I'm standing right next to Leroy and Lil Leroy. You know, Lil Leroy's going to walk down the aisle. He's actually going to hand me the ring. And so it's going to
like the ring bearer?
Yeah.
Thanks to Dean Murray.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks to my good friend Dean. And so, and I'm just honored to be, you know, Leroy's best man. Hey, do I got to write a speech?
Yes.
You got to do a toast. I told you that.
And I'll tell you right now.
You
didn't
tell me that?
I did tell you I'd do a toast.
I wouldn't write it.
Just go off the cuff.
I'm going to tell you.
It's funnier that way.
Yeah, I would go off the cuff if I was you.
And be careful, though, because you can get funny the wrong way and then everybody hates you.
He may be cursing, too.
And then everybody hates you. Right?
And I don't have a dump
where's
button there.
Lambeau,
everybody loves
Lambeau
him.
Field.
He'll be fine.
It's Lambeau Field.
He'll
I know.
Fine.
Just be careful.
Yeah, all right.
It is some church talk that's needed.
I got my invite today from Leroy. And
wait, man. He's the best man he got today?
I know. I asked him that. Well, not even today. I said, do I got to have an invite? He said, cuz, it's going to be playing security. You better bring your invite. I said, we'll be walking right next to you. So we met the security. What security guy outside?
Oh, Chris.
Chris.
We Chris just, Cole. Yeah. My guy, Chris Cole.
Should have said you didn't know.
So
would have helped your argument for what's about to happen.
I think Leroy and I have known each other hard for at least 8-9 years.
Well, you hired me here. Right?
Yeah, hard. Yeah. I mean, we know each other. We've been running real hard together, you know. And we share a lot of life experiences, and we give each other crap a lot, you know, about certain things, and try to help each other out. But I got my invite today from Leroy. And I just want to show you guys my invite right here and what it says.
What does that say, Baby Tosh?
It says Gray Ellerson.
Who I wrote that Gray in the Ellerson. Dark, cuz.
Who is Gray Ellerson, man?
I wrote it in the dark. G-R-A-Y, Ellerson.
What I wrote in the world? In the dark. So, who is Gray Ellerson?
When your boy.
Is he a twin that I don't know about?
It was dark. It was dark.
What does that have to do with anything?
It was dark.
It was dark.
That's awful.
Should I tweet that out?
Yes, you should.
When
yes,
you're
you
the
should,
best yeah. man, your boy give you the invite.
Hey, here's the sad part about it. My wife was like, I think you spelled his name wrong. I said, no, I didn't.
Oh, my God.
I'm arguing with her. She said, okay, go ahead. I said, what are you talking about? Leave me alone. She said, I think you spelled it wrong. No, I did. I said, so I wrote it nice and big. She tried to help me. You know how we hard.
I think I need to tweet this.
She out. Told you you spelled it wrong. You me. Looked at Gray Ellerson and said, that's right. I'm good. Yeah.
I tell you, women are smarter. Okay, I'm stuck like this.
Oh,
you tried to say.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet this out right. And then hashtag NFL, hashtag CTE.
I would just say
no, don't do that.
For sure,
don't do that.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
No, we can't jump. There's some real cases out there.
No, he's right.
He's right.
But this
may be a real case.
It's not a real case.
This may be a real case.
That's a real case.
Hey, can I tell you the other day? I forgot. I can find.
I wrote it in the dark.
Okay, good.
I think I wrote it in the light.
Well, whoever wrote it got good pen.
You know, so you give me a compliment. That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank
well,
you.
Well, it makes sense though because Gary, on mine, it just goes Bill S.
Well, he was
saying. I just spelled Schmidt. Right. I just spelled his last name, cuz. I just know that we got an email about somebody put a letter at the end of his name, and I couldn't remember who it was. And I come to email, somebody put a T on his name or something. I'm not making that.
S-H-M-I-D.
You thought S-C-H-M-I-D.
Yeah, T on it.
M-I-T-T.
No, that's baby T, like baby Tosh.
No,
Schmid. Because Jackie was easy.
Right.
So I said, nope, I don't know if it's I-E. Or is it why? I'm just put Bill S. Keep it simple, cuz.
Thank you.
But the Gray is amazing.
That really is one of the best things I've ever heard.
The Gray is amazing.
Bro. Oh, man.
Best you think man. Jersey,
I would just send that straight to Roger.
Oh,
Goodell.
You know what? I need to call the wedding planner and make sure I didn't put down Gray, though.
No, Leroy, this is what y'all have to do. You got to make sure.
Let him in.
Leroy.
I got a Gary on the list. I don't have a Gray.
Let him in, guys.
Man, what's the question? Can Leroy spell Gary or Gray?
Leroy,
hey, one of my favorite producers is F. Gary Gray, or vice versa. I think he did Friday.
You got to make sure the DJ, when he introduces Gary to give the best man speech, introduces him as Gray Ellerson.
I have to.
Yeah.
We have to.
I think that's funny.
Yeah.
That's got to be the running joke all weekend. That does.
What's up, Gray?
What's up, Gray?
Well, with Rashad Gary, now you could just separate yourself.
There you go.
That's why
you did. You were trying to help me out. Okay.
Oh, that's a new nickname. Your boy was just giving you a new nickname.
It's a gray area.
Yes, yeah. Gray.
Sparky, talk about Brooklyn and after all that nonsense.
Sure. I need a nap.
You need a nap.
I need a nap.
You need a nap before you did those.
But don't be tweeting me Florida State stuff. Leave us alone. We're a good university. I got my Hornet Book jersey on order.
They know how to count.
Can't even get it, Steve. Can't get it.
Because they don't make it.
Stop it. Back order.
They Back don't order. Even make it.
Hey, all he got to do is win 7 games.
Oh, he can win 7.
If he goes to a bowl game, you got to go.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, we got to be there.
You think Tom will give me off? Or?
Yeah.
Have fun in Detroit. Hey, Brooklyn
Detroit.
And
what
Chief.
What bowl is in Detroit?
exactly. Brooklyn and Chief.
That's not nice.
The Motor
City Bowl.
Oh, y'all need to stop, man.
Yeah.
We're not playing in December. Stop.
Yeah, Motor City Bowl.
You're not playing in January.
Why not? Hornibrook is the man. 26-6. Put that up against any starter.
I'll put him up against Joel Savvies. He's got more wins than Wisconsin
Badger
history. I like Joel Savvies.
Greenfield's finest.
Whitnall's finest. You
dang right.
He went
to Whitnall, too?
Yes, sir.
He went to Whitnall only. But, Leroy, 26.
Oh, I thought he went to Greenfield.
No, my bad.
Whitnall. We got
the same thing. What's the difference?
Oh, that's it.
Same school.
But that's definitely not the same.
My boy Mike Seaver's over there. He'll protect me at Whitnall.
Yeah. All right. What I'm going to tell you was 26-6.
Yeah.
That was with a good head coach. Y'all don't have one. Hey, Brooklyn
Sheets. He always
tries
to say these little jokes and then start his little read.
Come on, man. You know that dude's not very good. Brooklyn.
Only Brooklyn make him good, Steve.
Well, good luck. Brooklyn and Sheets.
I love your shirt, though.
Yeah. Y'all need Jesus.
I lost mine, though. Remember I told you I got it for $5?
Yeah,
I lost it.
Yeah. Paid more than that.
I love that shirt.
Well, I like my shirt.
His shirt says, y'all need Jesus.
Yeah.
Look how he spell y'all.
No, we all need some after that segment. I'll tell you that much.
Me and Baby Tosh could walk around together because he's wearing a Larry Sanders shirt. Hey, you spend a third of your life in sheets. It's about time for a betting upgrade.
Find a Larry Sanders shirt, cuz.
Yeah. Brooklyn and Sheets.
Supporting my boy.
Named the winner of the best of I like betting category by Good Housekeeping, and everybody needs a good night's sleep, whether it be Larry Sanders, whether it be LeRoy Butler, whether it's Gray Ellerson. It doesn't matter. Everybody needs a good night's sleep, including yours truly. That's why I have Brooklyn and Sheets. 35,000 5-star reviews. More than any other online betting category. Founded in early 2014 by husband and wife team. Yes, a husband and wife team running Brooklyn and Sheets. How cool is that? They've been doing it now for 5 years, just celebrating their fifth birthday.
Sister's name is Vicky.
Nice. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. And they have great colors and patterns to pick from. Mix and match over 25 of them. My Brooklinen sheets are the most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. I couldn't recommend them more if you're looking to treat yourself or a loved one to a bedding upgrade. Maybe a perfect wedding gift for LeRoy. For a limited time, Brooklinen.com is celebrating their fifth birthday. Get 20% off site-wide when you shop at Brooklinen.com, but only until May 7th. That's tomorrow. Shop their biggest event to date. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 20% off site-wide is to go to Brooklinen.com only until tomorrow, May 7th. That's Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen, these are the best sheets ever.
Our National Baseball Insider Seth Everett joins Wendy's Big Show next here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. And listen live, 1250 AM in the radio.com app as well. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, does each week, Mondays at 3:48. His name is Seth Everett. He's our National Baseball Insider. Seth, appreciate the time, man. And I have to ask right off the bat, how many times have you seen Avengers Endgame at this point?
Two.
Okay.
Two, that's it. I saw it at the Marvel screening, and then my wife couldn't go to that. Which, yeah, I know, right? Poor baby. So then we had to get tickets the week later to see it.
You didn't tell her I fell asleep in it, did you? Don't do that.
No, I didn't do that. But there's a bit of a controversy these days going on in Marvel because I don't know if you guys saw on social media, they released a trailer for the new Spider-Man movie.
Yep.
And it is heavy, heavy spoilers on Endgame. And my point being, I think it's too soon. And, you know, Sony makes those Spider-Man movies, even though they take place in the Marvel Universe. And I think Sony is trying to cash in on some of this Marvel love going on. And I think that
genius.
Was way too soon.
I totally agree.
But it's genius.
That's the thing. But in the process, like, why to be genius do you have to tick somebody off?
Like, and you should have done it like Memorial Day weekend. That way, you get a month, not after the second weekend.
You capitalize on the heat, though. Capitalize on all the heat of it.
Shocked, y'all.
Just like Vince McMahon is going to do with the XFL and capitalize on the Super Bowl heat and start up the next week.
Yeah, that's just like the Avengers.
No, that's not at all. It's not at all like it.
Just move the decimal point around, then you'll see the overall.
So, area. Seth, you're not just going to tell me what happened? Like, Sparky wouldn't let just tell me what
no,
happened?
No, because Mandela hasn't seen it, and not he yet. Wants to see it. No.
Not yet. No, I'm not going to do that yet. I mean, I did a podcast that it, you know, goes through the whole plot, and you know, it's gotten a ton of downloads. I mean, it has been very, very good for me to have that. But I won't tweet anything about the spoilers. I don't think that's right.
And that's Hall of Justice podcast if people want to download it. So.
Yeah, the Hall of Justice. We did a review of Avengers that came out the day of, and it was slow in the beginning because people hadn't seen the movie. But for such a spoiler-heavy movie,
I thought people really responded nicely to the podcast, and we're actually going to review it again just because the movie is so dense that there's so much in it that there is stuff I've seen now since and read about since that I didn't know. And I mean, I would love to talk about it with you guys on the show.
Yeah.
I don't want to tick off fans.
I will say this.
Sports fans are fans of this genre.
No doubt. And now that I've seen the movie, I can now totally understand how LaRoy fell asleep like three times. Like, I totally, now that I've seen it, I totally understand how he fell asleep three times. Now, I'm not as old as him, so I didn't fall asleep. But, I mean, I totally get, because I had our 12-year-old with, and that was one of his things, was he just didn't think there was enough action in the movie for a 12-year-old now. So
wait, you saw that the last 35 minutes and said there's not enough action?
Right, but the first 2.5 hours, there wasn't a whole bunch of action.
It's building and building. Oh.
Yeah, but I mean, so I get how,
yeah, you lost me
how,
by that
how LaRoy could have fallen asleep at some point.
My wife hit me in the ribs three times. Wake up.
Now, speaking of falling asleep, I want to get your thoughts on this.
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't stay up for the 18 innings.
Okay, well, we did.
I love you guys to death, but no, you ain't paying me by the inning. No way.
But I have a question for you. Because you have connections with the commissioner and all that other stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Could you foresee a time to where baseball eventually caps off a game and says, look, we're going to play extra innings, but we're only going to play, say, 12. And after that, if it's still tied, then it's going to be a tie at that point. We're not playing 18, 20-inning games anymore just because you use all those pitchers, you burn your bullpen, and then you both got to come back and play the next day. I mean, I get it from a fan perspective. If you're one of like 5,000 left in the stadium before this thing is done, great, you loved it, right? I understand that. I just don't see the benefit of it for baseball.
Yeah, but we can compare it to the Avengers. You know, the Avengers is a really long movie, and not once did I look at my watch during it.
I did.
Wanted to know where like everything was going. During the I don't have the statistics in front of me, so I apologize in advance. How many strikeouts in 18 innings? Between the two teams.
That I did not look at.
How many innings without base runners in those innings? And, you know, it used to be, you know, if we want to get into what the commissioner should do, it's not about trying to shorten 18-inning games. It's trying to make the first 9 innings so entertaining that you are gripped. And here's my question. You guys are in Wisconsin. Did the game trend on Twitter in the 15th inning?
Well, I was in here for the post-game show, and at points, I think Twitter just like ended up stopping responding about
because
the game.
Because people were going to sleep.
35 strikeouts, and the Brewers pitching staff only allowed one walk throughout all 18 innings.
Oh, God, that's torture. And, you know, the idea that I have noticed, and, you know, I have talked about, you know, how I've changed my research recently, and I think MLB.com does a great thing with the recaps. And if you go to the recaps that MLB.com puts together, they do montages of strikeouts and show all the home runs. I have watched games where I watch a recap of a game. If I'm going on in Dallas, I'll watch the Texas Rangers recap. And sure, I'll read about everything that I need to see, but in the highlight video, no one made a good defensive play? Like, that's where I think this whole thing is missing. It's not that an 18-inning game is not the anomaly. Like, that happens. And I knew you guys were going to talk about it. It's the problem is that 9 innings, the first 9 innings, make them better. And then I won't complain about one time every season you go 18 innings.
Well, they're trying to do their best. I mean, home runs are through the roof right now, more
yes,
so
they
than
are.
They were in the PED era. So you've gotten that. I mean, that's yeah. what brought everybody out
well,
of the
okay.
strike was home
there?
Runs.
Let's go there. Attendance is down 4%
yep.
from last year. Baseball sent out one of the dumbest press releases they've ever done with talking about the weather. Come on, it wasn't bad weather. The bad weather in Minnesota does not account for a decline in attendance. There are 12 teams that are having attendance issues, like major attendance issues, including the San Francisco Giants, who had a sellout streak for years. I mean, the sport is not thriving right now. And last year they were under $70 million for the first time since 2003, and the lowest attendance in 15 years. And through 5 weeks, they are actually lower. Now, last year Milwaukee was a proof of that. And I remember talking to you guys about the fact that, you know, a lot of people give Miller Park the credit for the roof because last year the weather was really wonky, and a lot of teams that had cold weather stadiums got in a lot of trouble with rainouts and doubleheaders and all those kinds of things. And Milwaukee actually was one of, I think, three teams in baseball that actually saw an attendance increase. So that's the exception, not the rule. And so baseball can talk about home runs all they like. And, you know, I have that ongoing battle with the MLB Twitter account because all they do is post home runs. I mean, somebody's got to make a good catch every night. Like, so show me a left field.
Now he's on the lineup tonight, but that was a great catch.
I saw that.
He's been doing that all year.
It's funny, but you don't see it highlighted. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
all I'm asking for, yes, you guys know it, but you're in the sports media. What I'm saying is I want this sport to take the best of whatever the 3 hours presents itself and put together a story. Tell me a story. Don't just compile highlights. And I think that's the big difference. And I think the NBA does it better. I think the NFL does it better. And God help me, I think the NHL is doing a wonderful job.
Well, and Seth, it's interesting that you bring that up. We had a conversation about it a couple of weeks ago on the air, and you look at just the Twitter followers alone for the NBA. They have close to 28 million Twitter followers in comparison to just the MLB with 9 million. But what's going on the field? Yesterday's Zach Davies is finally starting to be able to get into what you thought he was going to be able to do last year. Riddled
Thanks
with injuries
lot,
and struggles throughout the year. Now he comes back, and right now he's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball.
You got a great pitching coach.
Yeah. Well, I think the good thing for them is, you know, they need to get options from different guys. And I think what happens is, you remember the line, Bill, you weren't on the show back then, but remember the line, Buck Showalter used to have this great line about a team that's built to win in the regular season. And that is all twos, all threes, no ones, no fives.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is you throw a quality arm every time you take the field. You don't throw Clayton Kershaw, and you're not asking these guys to be Clayton Kershaw, but you're also not asking them to be the weak link. And what Davies has been able to do is assert himself, but I don't think anybody has any misgivings about Davies into anything other than a two, which is fine because – on a team, you want twos and threes. You don't break your bank for ones, and don't give me liabilities at fives.
Seth, I've been trying to have everybody calm down about the Milwaukee Brewers. Told everybody that they would be fine.
Yeah, but Cubs won seven straight, so I don't.
But the Brewers won 8 of their first 10 games, and now all three of those teams have tasted first place within the first 7-8 weeks of the season.
Okay.
Yeah, right. And the Cardinals are going to be there. I think the Cardinals are legit. I think we've all seen that. Mm-hmm. You remember, we talked about this. I know I talked about this on Bill's, Michael's show. The Cubs are in a very precarious situation, and if you'll indulge me for 30 seconds, the Cubs are starting their own television network next year.
Yep, it's amazing.
Brilliant.
And because of that, they are currently trying to sell the Cubs broadcast. And there was a very interesting story in Chicago because you knew that the Reinsdorf teams, the Bulls and the White Sox, we're not going to go on the Cub network. But a lot of people thought the Blackhawks might. And if you look at the success of the YES Network, for example, the key is they have live programming 12 months a year because they have the Nets. Now, the point of what I'm saying is the Cubs feel this overwhelming pressure to convince their advertisers that the run, quote unquote, is still happening.
Yep.
That they are still a championship run. And
you still got Brian and Rizzo, I would buy it.
But the thing about it, that challenge is, I don't think the pressure is coming from anywhere but the Cubs. That's why the story came out last week about the Cubs asking members of the media to write nice things about Addison Russell, who's coming off a suspension for domestic violence.
Yep.
Mm.
Because what they're afraid of is that a potential sponsor, you know, some grocery store or whatever, some company is considering buying into this Cubs network, and they're reading about wife abuse. They're reading about the run is over. They're reading about Joe Maddon's on the hot seat. Like, they're seeing all this negative press, and they're taking everything to heart. And to me, that's not what the Cubs should be. The Cubs should be, they are a good team, they're in a good division, and there's a competition, and it's going to be a pennant race. And God help me, if we could have a great pennant race like we had last year, that was fun. Because you stop worrying about strikeout totals, you stop worrying about ratings and Twitter followers, and you just can't wait to play the game.
Well, Tom Ricketts never went to journalism school then, Seth. He never realized that if it bleeds, it reads. Then he would have been really into all that free press.
I said last week on the station, I can't do a Cubs podcast because I can't cover the Cubs and not talk about Addison Russell. And I can't put anybody on the Cubs in that awkward position. And that stinks. Like, that's not what journalism is.
That's Seth Everett, but he is one of the most esteemed journalists, our national baseball insider. We appreciate it, Seth. We'll talk next week.
You got it, guys. Watch that trailer and let me know what you think.
All right, buddy.
We'll do, Seth. And I still won't see Endgame.
Don't watch the trailer if you haven't seen
Endgame. Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
If you have not seen Endgame and you want to see Endgame and you don't want to be ruined, do not watch that Spider-Man trailer.
I don't see why I care. Like, I mean, I watch Black Hawk Down. It's my favorite movie. I watch it 17 times a month.
What'd
I know
how
Black Hawk Down. I love that movie.
Stayed in the middle of the street, right?
They're all over the place. And
well, no, but the Black Hawk,
or whatever it is.
The Black Hawk was in the middle of the street, though, wasn't it? Crashed.
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
They
movie.
Had to go in and get them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we got out of there. But I don't care if somebody would have told me.
Do you have that on DVD?
Gonna watch it.
You know what I watch all the time?
I've never seen it before.
You never seen Black Hawk Down?
I've never seen it either.
Oh, it's a great
Could I borrow
movie.
I mean, I remember when it came out.
Like,
but
I'm with Leroy.
It.
I've probably seen at least 10 times. You know, another one I see a lot too, or I will watch a lot, is Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, yeah, I love that.
Yeah,
Matt
like
Damon
one.
Was a man in that.
It that's probably the longest movie.
No,
movie
not
I think
Matt
I've ever
Damon.
Seen.
What's the other cat name that's
Tom
in
Hanks.
It? Hanks.
Yeah, Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
I think that's the longest movie I've ever seen. Saving Private Ryan.
You seen Steve Saving Private Ryan?
I think I saw it once when it came out.
Oh, God, I've seen that a million times.
Not something that I watch a lot of.
You don't do much TV, though, do you?
I like hero movies. Those are real heroes to me.
Yeah, some TV. I'm trying to think of, like,
Bought
movies.
You're
busy
movie,
making
though.
Your girl like, cut her hair to like, watch if, good shows.
Shut up. If there's, I'm trying to think of movies that if there's on TV that I'll watch. Like Shawshank Redemption. If that's
oh,
on, Shawshank. I'll
classic.
Stop. I'll
oh, yeah.
I'll classic. Stop and watch
In
that
the middle of it, I'll watch.
Yeah,
Andy Dufresne.
Doesn't matter where it is.
No.
Right.
I love that movie.
That's one of the movies that I'll stop and watch.
You can stop right now. You got 2 minutes ahead of you before your chance at $1,000 right here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.